Let me tell you a little bit about our ministry.
Okay.
Our ministry is worldwide. I was a Greek and Hebrew teacher at California Missionary Baptist Institute in Bellflower, California in the 1960s and 70s. I taught advanced theology. I grew up here in Fish Lake Valley. My stepdaughter, Dad, Dale Remling, brought me up here when I was very young. Dale was an atheist. He always made fun of me and said that I was stupid because I'm American Indian. And one time we worked for a guy, and the guy told him, he said, "I don't want you to call him a dumb, blanket-assed Indian one more time."
Oh, my God.
Not once more. That boy does love you and worship the ground you walk on, and you treat him right, and you pay him because he's doing all your work for you.
Who's
because
that?
I did. This Tony Saunders said that down in toward Greenfield out there. We were building horse corrals on this place, and you can still see those posts that I put there, can't you remember? I put those all. I was only from 7 to 11 years old when I was doing this. I was very big. He brought me up here. We hunted wild horses. We were the managers of the Snow Goose Ranch. And all the time, I wrote my first book here. I wanted to write. I went back. My grandmother and great-grandmother raised me. My mother, when I was born, said I was too much trouble and gave me to my grandmother. She just didn't want to have anything to do with me. And so she raised me, and when Dale came along in my mother's life, my father was killed in 1949 robbing a liquor store in Long Beach, California. When he came back from World War II, he was out of his mind. He had post-traumatic stress disorder to the point of total disaster. Betty Davis was his girlfriend. He was very handsome. Yeah, Betty Davis, the movie star. He stole her car. And, I mean, this goes on and on. And I was raised in this drunken Indians and all of this all my life. My grandmother, I'd always go back to her. And when I wasn't with Dale, I was with my grandmother. Until my grandmother got violently killed in 1960. In January. Then I just felt like I was lost. I was going to church, and I went down to church. I was in a charismatic church. It was so charismatic, so emotional, that they did not preach the gospel at all.
No.
But I was reading the Bible. And I read the Bible, and I walked down to the... Whenever preaching, nobody paid any attention to me. I went down to the altar. And this is 1961. I went down to the altar, and my ex-step-grandmother came up there. Mrs. Brown, and she said, "Jimmy, what's wrong?" And I said, "I think I need to be saved."
Oh, my God.
And she led me to the Lord. Now, I went on in my life. I had no direction from my family at all. My grandmother got killed. I read the Bible and things, and then my stepfather kept influencing me away from the Bible and away from God. Finally, I got hurt in 1971. Very bad. I was paralyzed in the oil fields. My legs, I was paralyzed in my legs. My back was crushed. I had plenty of time to sit down and think about God.
My God.
And I began to read the Bible all over again. I read it, every word in it. I began to get everything. My stepdad, I told him that I thought that God was wanting me to preach. He said, "Well, you better learn Greek and Hebrew because the Bible is not written in English." So I began to study Greek and Hebrew at home because I couldn't go anyplace. I was pretty much an invalid almost. I had an operation. I couldn't drive for 2 years after the operation. They fused my whole lower back together. And I began to write letters to my stepdad. He was in prison at that time. And I wrote him in Greek and in Hebrew and different things, you know. He didn't think I could do this.
Your stepdad?
Yeah, my stepdad. Then he became very proud of me.
Look at that.
Then he broke out of the prison in Jackson, Michigan, with a helicopter and was in worldwide news in 1975, in June 1975. Then they put him in Marion, Illinois, and I wrote letters to him about God all the time, would send him recordings that I was doing, preaching and all this. And anyway, I went on. I went to the seminary 12 years. When I went to the seminary the first week that I was there, I had taken every extension course. I had taken beginning Hebrew and Greek, and I went right straight. I took the entrance exam at CMBI, and I passed all the remedial classes into all the advanced classes. English, Greek, Hebrew, everything. I didn't have to take any first or second year classes. I was a freshman the first year and a junior the next year because I was there the first year. And then on, I was a graduate student because I graduated with an associate degree the first year. Then the bachelor's and master's and doctor's. Well, God put it on my heart to teach Greek and Hebrew, which I've done all my life, the Bible from those languages. But I have stood before this map for 50 years teaching God's Word for a reason. Most people don't know anything about the time elements of the Bible. When did Adam live? When did Noah live? When did Jacob, when did all this happen? And they are all confused. And I've heard many preachers preach many times totally out of context because they don't know what they're talking about. You need to learn the Word of God. The Word of God is what leads us to God, not religion. Religion has damned more people than anything else in the world. It's damned more people than atheism. Because it gets people on the wrong road. So, I want you to look at this map. Now, in eternity past, things happened. And I gave one to you.
I have that.
In eternity past, a lot of things happened before God created the heavens and the earth. Before He created anything, He created angels and spirits. And angels and spirits are two different beings. Angels are clothed. They have form. Spirits do not. Spirits are dual. Angels are triune like God is triune. Now, angels are a lot like God because they can go interdimensional. We know that there's at least 10 dimensions, don't we? Don't we? There's at least 10 dimensions mathematically and scientifically.
Yes.
By the way, the Bible agrees with science, true science.
Yes.
Now, you go back in eternity past, and the first thing that God ever created was the angels and spirits. He created them in His image. In His image. Okay? In a certain amount of His image. Now, angels are supernatural, aren't they? Because they can go between dimensions. We are held to three dimensions, aren't we?
Yes.
Okay? But angels can go through all 10 dimensions. That's why they can appear and disappear. But every time angels appear and disappear, they have form. And every time they have form, they look like a man.
A man.
And they're all male. Angelos and Melech, these are masculine words. So angels are male.
Yes.
Okay? And they're created because God is male.
Uh-huh.
All right. The word Elohim and the word Theos are both masculine.
Elohim.
Yeah, Elohim and Theos are both masculine. If you look over here, that's Elohim. I did put the pointers in it.
Yes.
And then Theos here. Both of those are masculine. That's nominative singular masculine second declension word. Okay? In Greek. It's masculine. Theos. We get our word theology from that and the study of God. And that's what we're doing right now. We're talking about God, who God is. Now, God wanted to share the universe that He was going to create with other creatures. And He created at least three orders of angels.
Wow.
All right. There is Michael.
Yes.
There was Lucifer.
Mm-hmm.
And there was Gabriel. Lucifer is over the material realm that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
Michael is over the spiritual realm. And Gabriel is over the informational or what we might call the conveying of thought from one thing to the other. That's Gabriel. Well, back in eternity past, before God ever created man, He created the heavens and the earth. Now, in Genesis 1 and 1, it says, Barashith, Bara, Elohim, Eth HaShemayim, Ve'eth HaAretz. It says, in beginnings, in one of the beginnings, that's plural. Barashith, that tau on the end of that, is a plural form, an old Hebrew plural. All right? It's not Barashith. It says, in one of the beginnings, or in beginnings, plural. He had created Elohim, or God, the triune God, by the way, because that's plural. Elohim's plural. He said he created Et HaShemayim. Et HaShemayim. Et is a sign of direct object. It means power is going that way, force is going there. And on HaShemayim, it means everything above the earth. And it meant the whole creation, the whole cosmos he creates. Okay? The earth is here. And everything above the earth he created. Okay? Everything above the earth. Et HaShemayim. Everything out there in the universe God created. Now, he created all of this after he created angels and spirits, but before he created man. Okay? And everything out here is all the stars and all the galaxies, and we know how many heavens are there. How many heavens are there?
I'm not sure.
How many? Three. The heaven above the earth, which is what we call the atmosphere.
Yes.
By the way, all of the scientific and medical terms come from Greek. Yes. All the legal terms come from Latin because the Catholic Church was in power. They changed the Bible from the original languages to Latin, okay? And then Latin became the legal language. So in law terms, they always have Latin terms, okay? Now, get back to this. Everything out here, this is the stars, the moon, the universe, all the galaxies, everything are out there. And then he says, we et ha'aretz. And then he says, and then he took the earth and he placed it in exactly, he created the whole universe, and then he took the earth. The earth didn't come from anything else, it came from God. Then he took the earth and he placed it in exactly the right place to support life.
To support life.
To support life, yes. And then he put life on it. There were animals, there were things on the earth. This is an eternity past. It's not in space and time. This isn't after man's creation or during the creation of man. This is in the original creation. Now he created the heavens and he placed the earth in exactly the right place. And he put an atmosphere around the earth so it could support life. But the earth at that time was what they call God on Earth, or Pangea. Earth was here and water was here. The earth was water and dirt, or dry land, ha'aretz, okay? Now, Satan rebelled. Isaiah 14, 12 through 15, and Ezekiel 28, it says that Satan tried to overcome God. And he went up into the... if you know on earth where heaven is, there's three heavens, the atmosphere, there's the heavens where the stars and the galaxies are, and in the third heaven is the abode of God, and it's north of the earth. Because the Bible says that Satan ascended into the north parts, into the north of the earth, and ascended into the third heaven, where the throne of God is, and he tried to usurp the throne of God.
That was when he was thrown down?
Yeah. That's what happened in eternity past. All right. Then the earth, in Genesis 1 and 2, it says, We ha'aretz, ha'fya tohu wohu, we hoshuv el p'nei hamayim, we ruah elohim, merkacheth el p'nei hamayim. And it says, and the earth, she had become formless and void. The earth had been destroyed. How much of the stars and everything were knocked out of order and things, we do not know. But we know the earth. You go up here on White Mountain up there, and you can see trees up there that go back 7,000, 8,000, 10,000, 12,000 years ago. That goes back into eternity before man. Those trees are old enough to go back to this creation. And it was destroyed. There are trees standing up there that have been dead for 2,000 years. There are trees that go back all 5,000 and 6,000 years. How long has man been on the earth? According to some chronology, 6,000 years. Whether that's correct or not. Now, those verses on time up there reset what we call carbon dating. Carbon dating was wrong because they found on those, they know when Vesuvius in the Mediterranean erupted because of those trees. They tell us that time. All right, so we see all of this science and the Bible going together. Well, now we come to in Genesis, the first chapter, and from verses 3 on, it says, Spirit God suffered over, mourned over, cried over, wept over the faces of what had become of the earth. And then God began to put the earth back into order. Now, Lucifer, which is a good name, Lucifer, actually his name is not Lucifer, it's Hallel. Hallel is the Hebrew. Now when they did the Latin Vulgate, when Jerome translated the Latin Vulgate, he translated the word Hallel, Lucifer, from the Latin Lucere, which means light carrier. And Hallel means light carrier or brightness. At one time, Satan completely served God for how long we do not know. Maybe a million years, a thousand years. Yeah, before he fell. God did not create anything evil or bad or corrupt. He created all things perfect. Okay? And Lucifer, when he was created, or Hallel, was perfect. But he fell, Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14. He fell and became, he sinned. And then God put him aside. He destroyed the earth. Jesus and Luke and in the book of Revelation said he saw Satan take one third of the angelic and spiritual forces with him. And that he fell and destroyed the earth, and the earth had become destruction. We can look down on the earth. I've drilled all wells and a mile or two deep in the ground, and you'll find shells, you'll find bones and fossils. How did they get there?
No.
From Genesis 1 and 2. That's how they got there. Now, let's go on. So God creates man, and he creates man in his absolute image.
Right.
He creates him, Genesis 1:26, and his, it says, in his shadow casting likeness. That's what it says in Hebrew, the shadow casting likeness. And in his what? His spiritual likeness.
Mm-hmm.
That's his shadow casting likeness. And then it said in his blood flowing likeness. That word dom is in that word. That means blood. Why did God create man so closely to him? Because through man, the earth would be brought back into harmony with God. But it wouldn't be Adam, because Adam sinned. But in Genesis, the third chapter, in verse 15, it says, and Jehovah is talking to Satan. And Satan embodied the Nahash, the serpent, there in the garden. You heard about this. The serpent and the apple and the tree and all this kind of stuff. Well, the serpent deceived the woman. Man should have been there. The man should have been there. Now, God created man, and man named all the animals. Adam was real smart. Adam was not infected with sin like we are. This is before sin entered into the world. And he had no problem with memory or anything like that. But it's God felt sorry for Adam, and he said, I'm going to make a partner. I'm going to make a partner corresponding to him. So it says in Hebrew that God put Adam in a hypnotic trance. Hypnosis. In a hypnotic trance, and he took from him, he took blood, bones plural, not a rib. Not a rib.
Oh, well,
that's King James.
Okay.
He took from him bones. And he took from him bloods. And he took from him fleshes. And that's the terms it used. He's triune. Bones, fleshes, and just like man. And he made into Isha. It's a name for woman. Woman's first name was Isha. Now, the name for man in Hebrew is Ish. Okay. And the name for a woman is Yishav, which means out of man. Woman, in any language, means out of man.
Yes.
Because she was taken out of man. And then he took all of these things and put it together. And he made her alive. She became alive. Now, Adam, when God created Adam, now this is in the Hebrew too, again. See, the Hebrew is the touchstone of all things. This is why I study Hebrew and Greek. God did not create Adam from mud. He created Adam from the same elements that he created dust from. And that came from him. The dust came from God, and Adam came. Adam is the primary creation of God, not a secondary. He didn't create him from something else. He created him from the same elements that he created the dirt, but he created it right. Man came right directly from God. Primary creation. Woman is a secondary creation because she came from man. Man did not come from dirt. He came from the same elements as dirt to become dirt, prophetically. Okay? Isn't this beautiful? Now, this is from Hebrew. Did you learn something today? Anyway, and so Adam was doing something, playing golf or whatever he was doing when he was supposed to be watching over his wife, because God told Adam, you guard with your life all this. Now, he had to guard it from something. What did God tell Adam to guard the garden from? Lucifer and his
serpent.
And his horde of demons and fallen angels. Because he knew something was going to happen. Well, wherever Adam was, I do not know. But Lucifer appeared to Eve, Hava, the same name as yours.
Yes.
He appeared to her as a serpent. And the serpent talked to man. Animals in the original creation were companions of man. They were not food. They were companions. And they communicated. A dog, a cat communicates with you, don't they? Yeah, they tell you what to do. A cat says, feed me, or let me out, or a dog's the same thing. They think. Animals are triune.
Oh.
People say they're only duel, but an animal, according to Hebrew, is basar, flesh. He is ruach, spirit, and he's soul, nefesh. Now, will they have eternal abodes with God? I do not know, but I know they're triune. That I can tell you from the Hebrew. Hebrew's beautiful. It tells you everything. And the Greek tells you everything. You can learn so much from it. Well, anyway, Adam sinned. He sinned willingly. The woman was deceived, and she took from the fruit. And by the way, how much of that tree did they eat?
Just the apple.
How much?
All
of it.
They
ate the whole thing. They didn't stop. They ate the fruit, they ate the limbs, they ate the leaves, they ate it all. In Hebrew it says, third person, singular, while consecutive, imperfect. They kept on eating. They never stopped. This is the first case of gluttony.
Gluttony.
They just, once they tasted it, they wanted more, and they kept eating, they kept eating, they kept eating, they kept eating. As far as I know, they ate it down to the roots. Because we don't have that tree anymore. It's not around. Some people tried to make it an apple. Some people tried to make it a pomegranate or whatever. But it was a tree that had the knowledge of good and evil in it. But they wanted it, and they ate it all. And then man, because he was undone, God appeared to him in the garden. And he came along and he said, where are you, Adam? And he hid from him.
Yeah.
And here's the first case of false religion.
Oh.
Fig leaves around themselves to cover themselves up. Now, that didn't work, did it? All of man's ideas of religion are always wrong with God. God does everything. This is Discover the Word, Missionary Baptist Church. Discover the Word because we look at the Bible. Okay? Missionary Baptist Church is Baptist because we believe in salvation by grace. And it's Missionary Baptist because we believe in sending missionaries out to people, because people aren't born dead spiritually and alive spiritually. We all have an opportunity to believe. And so I believe that because the Bible teaches it. Now, God promised Eve that of her seed, He told Jehovah, speaking to the serpent, he said, I will put hate, active hatred between your seed and the woman's seed. And he shall bruise you as to the head, but you shall bruise him as to the heel. That's what it says in Hebrew. Bruising as to the head means a death-dealing blow. That's a deadly blow. When you get shot in the head, you're probably not going to live. Bob, you were in World War II.
Yep, and...
Not very many people that were shot in the head lived.
No,
that's a deadly blow. You can shoot a foot, you can lose a leg, you can lose an arm, you can lose a hand.
Head is death due to death.
You can shoot through, you can lose a kidney.
Yeah, the head is due to
death. The head is deadly blow.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what he said there, he said, her seed shall active hatred between your seed, Satan. And her seed, Satan, was Jesus Christ. That's who her seed would be. And that's the reason for the virgin birth also. Let's go on. Now, we're not going to cover everything in this whole chart in one message. But I'm going to just show you some things, very important things. Now, we come down through here, and God is teaching man by learning, by seeing. We have God put man in the garden. He said, do not eat of that tree. It's mine. They ate it all. And they began the process of dying. But this is the weird thing, Eva. Isha's name, that was her first name, woman's name was Isha. But after God put the curse upon mankind to die, and they began the process of dying, Adam gave her a new name.
Oh, it was Adam.
That was Adam named Eve. He said, she is shall be called Eve. Or Hava, because she would be the mother of all living, and he's not looking at the first child. He thinks the first child that's going to be born is the Savior. That's going to overcome Satan. But the first child was Cain, wasn't it? Cain. Now, Eve, when that child was born, when she had this baby, she had multiple births, by the way. She had twins and triplets, quadruplets, quintuplets, whatever. She had a lot of births. And a woman can have 1,000 children.
Wow.
Today. You, when you were born in this world as a Isha, you had the ability in your ovaries to have 1,000 children. Because Eve did. And she had a lot of children, and she had a lot of multiple births. But she thought, yes, Bob.
Okay. I don't want to interrupt you too much, but this is so new to me. I never ever heard that. See, I'm Roman Catholic. Mm-hmm. You know, grow up, but we did that Bible, but was different what you teach, okay? And this is so new to me that how this is came about. I never heard none of these in a Catholic church.
Oh, no, you're not going to.
I also was.
Why?
Now, right there is a chart. You see this chart right here?
Yes.
This is the evolution of religion and how the Catholic Church became the Catholic Church. All right? That's it right there. Now, you're not going to hear this because they really don't want you to have the Bible, because if you have the Bible, it will lead you away from them.
Yeah.
So they give you the seven sacraments and all of that.
Now you understand.
Okay. It keeps you a Catholic. That, and they scare you that if you don't do all this, you're going to die and you're going to go to hell and there's no way out.
Go to purgatory.
Yeah, you're going to go. Purgatory is a cheap excuse for hell. Purgatory, you have to suffer there until you get better, until you get righteous.
Like second chance.
Yeah, a second chance, but you don't have any second chances. All of this is confusion.
Who started doing this? I mean, was Christ subordinate as much as all? But little I know, okay, then came the his helpers, okay, the prophet. Now, who started? They did this or somebody else did this?
When you mean who started the Catholic Church?
No, the Catholic Church was a couple hundreds of years later, Roman Empire later on.
Yeah.
At the beginning, as I mean, my knowledge is so little, it's a joke because I never learned this. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So who wrote all these? What you telling me? What I'm hearing?
This is all from Genesis through Revelation. Okay. This is the whole history of the Bible. I'm telling you the history of God and man.
Yes.
The whole history of God.
Jewish people had that one or that. What is that?
In the Old Testament, they only had revelation to the prophets. See, I'm not going there.
Oh.
See, we're going to go through there. Back in, Adam knew God in person.
Yeah.
He knew Jehovah. Jehovah walked with him. By the way, Jehovah is a very beautiful name. It comes from the Hebrew word Hayah. And Yahweh or Jehovah, all we can actually, how you say Jehovah is this Yah.
Yah.
Because you can't say it, you can't pronounce the word. It's unpronounceable. Now, they call it Yahweh and all this, but it's there's no way to pronounce it because we have no vowels. You pronounce my name without vowels. It's impossible. James, Jim, you can't do it. You can't do it without vowels, okay? Jesus, you can't pronounce it without vowels. That one word.
Of course, we're jumping all over here. Let's look at this Jesus. There's a vowel, there's a vowel. What do? When you take the vowels off, you can't say the word.
Jehovah is Yod, Hey, Wow, Hey. Four consonants, no vowels. But it does mean something. He who shall become. He who shall become. That's the name Jehovah. Now the Jehovah that walked in Adam's, in the garden with Adam, was going to become his child. That's the promise. But it wouldn't happen for a long time. For a long time. Now let's go on. Now God reveals himself, and he, by revelation, by what we progressive revelation, God made himself known to man. Progressive revelation. Well, when their first child was born, Eve says, I have gotten a man, even Jehovah. That's what she said. She didn't say, I got man with the help of Jehovah. I've gotten man. I got Jehovah. Here he is. He's going to save us. Because Adam called her the mother of all living, because through Jesus, through Jehovah, she would be the mother of all living. See, that's what your name means. Isn't that beautiful? Beautiful name. Well, we go on down here, they began to die. And in Hebrew, it says, wehemoth, wehemoth, wehemoth. And they died and stayed dead. Adam lived 950 years, but he died and stayed dead. Now, where did he go? Where did Adam go when he died? The body, we have body, we have soul, and we have spirit. The soul and the spirit goes to be in, not purgatory, but it went to Hades or Sheol. Why did it go to Sheol, Hades? Now, the Catholic Church invented purgatory out of this, okay? But now we're jumping all the way up here to the cross. Everybody that died from here all the way to here went to Sheol or Hades. Now, Sheol and Hades was a great cavern thing. As far as I can tell, it's down below the earth in the third heaven down below. And out there, everybody that believed in God and believed his promises were on one side, and those that rebelled against God were in another place called the place of torments. Now, evidently, the place of torments, the people there could see the people over there in paradise. It's called Paradis or Paradiso. It comes from Persian into Hebrew into Greek. It's all a Paradiso. It all comes from Paris, Paradiso, and it means a guarded pleasure park. That's what paradise means, a guarded pleasure park. That's what Eden was, a guarded pleasure park. Eden was a type of heaven. They had everything they needed. They had no wants. It wasn't too cold, wasn't too hot. They had all they needed to drink and all they needed to eat, and all they had to do was obey God.
That was it. One commandment.
All the way through here, then God put man in a state of conscience. He was supposed to do good and offer a blood sacrifice, because when God clothed Adam and Eve, he killed a sheep. Something innocent died for that which was guilty. And according to the book of Jasher, those clothes lasted for eons. They handed them down. Nimrod grabbed hold of them in his time. But he made these clothes out of these animals. And every year they had to make a sacrifice. And something died. Something innocent had to die for some guilty. This is a type. This tabernacle over here. Remember when God told Moses about the tabernacle, build this tabernacle because I want to dwell with my people? Everything in that tabernacle typified Jesus Christ to come. Okay? Everything in it, it typified Jesus Christ. See, Bob, this is a fantastic show. Nobody could have invented this but God. Atheists are out there. That's a poor excuse because they won't have a tooth. Okay? Man lived in wickedness. God judged the world, and we have the universal Noah's flood. We have four women and four men that come to the flood, eight people. And that's what completely repopulated the earth. And then God set forth the human government. This is very important, Bob. America doesn't live under this today. Human government, you have to protect the government from the people. You have to protect the people from the government. And you have to protect the people from each other. That's the basis of all human government. Protect the government from the people from the government, and the people from each other, that are the good from the bad. Okay, you got the death penalty as an absolute necessity. Sometimes wars are a necessity. But wars for religion are out. Never should we ever had a war for religion, ever.
But we've had here?
Yeah. Yeah, never. War, religion has caused more wars and killed more people in the history of the world than anything else. So let's go on. So we had a flood. And then God told mankind, now still the earth is water on one side and earth on the other side. We had a universal flood on the one side, at least, because the other side was water already. And he told them to scatter and multiply. I don't want you to live in big cities, because big cities have problems. Men become wicked. So we had Nimrod rise his head up, and he built a tower and a one world religion, and he rebelled against God. And God, and they didn't scatter.
Tower of Babel? Referring to the
Tower of Babel? The Tower of Babel, yes. The Tower of Nimrod and the Tower of Babel. A one world religion, but it's against God. False religion.
Yes.
They didn't scatter and multiply, so what did God do? You remember?
Yes.
He confused the languages. That's why we got all these 2,776 languages in the world, basic roots.
You cannot understand.
Yeah. Okay? We got all these different languages in the world. And then God did something monumental. He divided the earth. The earth became continents. And mountains rose, and mountains fall, and oceans, and seas, and things all began during this period of time that divided humankind from the other. There's where we have Australia and New Zealand, and North and South America, Africa, and the European continents. That's how it all began. It was right here when that happened. Then, God called out one man, Abraham. Abram was his name. His name meant exalted father. Except he wasn't a father. He called him out, and he had married his half-sister, Sarai. And he told him, leave down there in the Ur of the Chaldees. Leave it and leave there and go into a land that I'll show you that I'm going to give to you. So he went up and he got as far as Haran. He wouldn't go any further. And in Haran, he lost his brother on the way, and he lost his father in Haran. And then he began to go into the land of Canaan. Canaan means gotten or possession.
Is what's the time or line? Time is from the beginning to where you are.
This is thousands of years ago. I don't know how many, maybe a million in eternity past. Then Adam begins in time and space. How long ago Adam lived ago? They have different chronologies, biblical chronologies. Basically, they say 6,000 years ago, but that may not be correct. Because we have physical evidence that goes back further than that, and even history of nations that go back.
But the host telling us that the science said the earth is about what? 7 billion years old?
The earth can be 10 billion, 7 billion, whatever it was, because it's created in eternity past. Way back here in eternity. We don't know how long that. A lot of people try to say that the earth is only 6,000 years old, but they don't study the Bible. What does the Bible say? The earth said God created the earth in eternity past. It was He in one of the eternities, in one space and time, Barashiv, in one of the beginnings, He created the heavens and the earth. Now, in John 1 and 1, it says, NRK, Aho Logos, Kaiho Logos, Saint Pearl, Stone Theon, Kaiho Logos, Saint Theos. Now, that's Greek. But it says this, in beginning, singular, one. Locative, singular, feminine, RK, NRK, in one, in the beginning when nothing else was. He kept on being the Jehovah. And the Jehovah kept on being an inseparable part of the Godhead because Jehovah kept on being God. And it said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was toward God, was with God, and the Word was God. That's how it's translated. But in the Hebrew, and the Greek that is, it says, in the beginning he kept on being. And it's the word logos. But the word logos is a Hebraism. It is not the word for word. It means Jehovah. Jehovah was always referred to as the word, not, or the name. Ho logos, or ha davar, or Hashem in Hebrew. So there, yes.
How is the Bible and the Torah measures?
The Torah is part of the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
Most people, the Torah is the, it can be all the Old Testament or the five books of what we call the five books of Moses. Okay? This is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Most of the Hebrews, the Samaritans will only accept the five books. The what we call the Pharisees in Jesus' time, which are the modern, what we might call the Orthodox Jews today, they accepted the whole Old Testament, except they didn't believe it. And they wrote a commentary which is called the Mishnah and the Talmud. The Mishnah and Talmud is a commentary on the Old Testament. Now up to here, God is revealing himself piece by piece. So we come up to Abraham. Now there were laws. The laws of Hammurabi and Hammurabi back then. And those laws are a whole lot like the Deuteronomy.
Like?
They're like Deuteronomy. But they're before we have the written Bible. And that's what Jacob went by, and that's what Abraham went by in all of this. They went by the laws of Hammurabi. Okay? Let's get over here past the flood. Man did not scatter. We have the division of the earth. And then Abraham, in the Ur of the Chaldees, he calls him out and says, go down there. And so Abraham lived in idolatry. He had to get him out of the idolatry. He couldn't do with him there what he needed to do. He had to get him away from his family. And you have to realize that Abraham probably even knew Noah or Shem. They knew that, but they were seeping in idolatry back at that time. Now, he tells him, dwell in Canaan. Go down in Canaan. And so Abraham finally gets into Canaan. And then there's a famine in the land, so he runs down to Egypt, doesn't he? Does he? That one, he went down to Egypt. But what did he do down in Egypt? He became a used wife salesman, brother.
Yeah, but
he sold his wife.
He gave his wife to the
Pharaoh. Yeah, he sold his wife to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh gave his daughter to Abraham, and her name was Hagar.
Oh.
She was Pharaoh's daughter. He gave him Hagar.
I thought Hagar was a maidservant.
Abraham's wife made her into a maidservant.
Oh.
She went from a princess to a handmaiden.
It's
total dishonesty there.
Where did you find that?
It's there.
Sorry, I'm
if you read the historical documents like the Book of Jasher, and back at that period of time, what was happening at that time, you find out. Now Pharaoh, his queen was not Hagar was not the queen's wife, daughter, but she was his concubine's daughter.
Okay.
And this was a political marriage, so they would be unified, and so. His children would not attack their children because they're family. Okay?
But during that time, they would even marry their own daughters sometimes. You know? And that's why the children were so, ill-formed.
That became that way. Men were living 100 and 150 years, 200 years, until we have all of this intermarriage and things. And then the ages are going down. You can see that. The ages going down, down, down. Abraham, was really as old as the Bible says he was. In years, real years. Okay? It actually, not our years, but the Hebrew years, which was 360 days. Okay? 360 days. Alright? So we come down. Abraham was promised something. He said, through your seed all nations... you will be like the stars of heaven, your seed, and like the sand of the seashore. Now, the first child that Abraham had was by Hagar.
Uh-huh.
Ishmael.
Ishmael.
And Hagar was very mistreated by Sarah. She was a mistreated girl. And then we have Ishmael born. And what does Ishmael mean? God hears. God heard Hagar's prayer.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't Ishmael the beginning of all the Muslim era? Ishmael, such a Muslim name?
No, that's a Hebrew name. Ishmael is the Hebrew name, which means God hears.
God hears.
Yeah, Ishmael means God hears. God hears. The word Simeon is from that word. Ishmael, El on the end of that, is God. God hears. All right? So his name was God hears because she was crying out there in the wilderness, and God said, go back and put up with that woman, and you're going to have a child, and he's going to bring a great nation out of this child. He's going to have 12 princes that are going to come out of Ishmael, which are part of the basis of the Arab world.
Arab world.
And I'm related to that.
Wow.
Okay. Part of the, but also, Abraham had another wife, Keturah, which was a, she was a, what we call a Japhethite. The Europeans, even Alexander the Great, they say, came from Keturah out of Abraham's loins.
That part is not
yes.
Yeah.
Okay, that, and she had sons. Abraham had quite a few children.
Wow.
He had Isaac, second,
yes.
And then all the children of Keturah,
oh.
Which became the princes, which some of them went into Europe and all over there. And that is where I come in, my lineage, my DNA goes back to Abraham. All right.
Really?
Yes, absolutely. I'm a son of Abraham, literally. I'm a descendant of Abraham by DNA.
Wow.
It goes right back to the...
My gosh.
Right
God.
Straight back to the...
God.
Right straight back
DNA.
To Mesopotamia.
Yeah, Mesopotamia.
Yeah.
So I'm a son of mine.
Mesopotamia is in Persia, isn't it?
Mesopotamia.
Yes, between...
That means the man between the rivers. Yes. Tigris and Euphrates.
Yes.
The Tigris and Euphrates. All right, let's go on a little bit further, and we'll stop here on this message and start another one later. Anyway, God told Abraham that he was going to bless him through Isaac. Now, Yitzchak is his name. Say Yitzchak. Yitzchak. Yitzchak means pleasure. It means to laugh. It means to kiss. It means to make love. Yitzchak means all of those things. Yitzchak means pleasure. And it means enjoyment and joy. That's what. And laughing. When you laugh, you're having joy. You're laughing, aren't you?
Yes.
It makes you happy. It's good for you. The endorphins fly open, you know, into your body. It goes into your bloodstream.
Only thing I can say, I'm so amazed what I'm hearing. And I said, how come I never heard that? I never learned
I'm trying to tell him today.
Bob, people say that all over the world. When they hear
today
me, they said, I never heard that
now,
in my life.
Today was his blessing that you called us. And I told you from today, your life will change and will be full of blessings because you have heard differently.
Mm-hmm.
He's completely been pulled out from there and he will serve the Lord now.
Yeah.
I know that.
Now, let's listen to one thing. Abraham preached the gospel to Abraham. God preached the gospel to Abraham. Now, how did he do that? Well, Abraham, God told Abraham, I want you to go into a land that I'm going to show you, and I want you to take your son Isaac. And I want you to offer him for a sacrifice for me. Now, just think of this. God hates human sacrifice.
Yes.
In all the pagans, sacrifice for children and everything, and all of a sudden God is telling Abraham to go offer your child to me?
Right.
Well, Abraham just went wandering along until he come to this, what would become the city of Jerusalem up on Moriah,
okay.
That mountain. And he goes up there and he tells his servants, he had young servant guys, he took some young guys with him, it says that in Hebrew. He took these young guys and he says, stay here, and me and my son will return unto you.
Oh, he was so sure.
Well, so he took him up there on that mountain, he tied him up, and Isaac says, Daddy, we got the fire, we got the wood, but we don't have a sacrifice. And Abraham told Isaac, God will provide, God will see to it. Jehovah Jireh, okay? And so he takes him up on the mountain, he lays him out there, he puts the, and he's going to cut his throat. And God says, don't do it. And over there in a thicket was a ram caught in there. And he said, there's the deal. That ram typified Jesus Christ. Okay?
Wow.
That ram typified Jesus Christ. God provided the sacrifice. And it says in the New Testament that God Abraham believed God that if he killed that son, that God would raise him from the dead. He was going to come down off that mountain alive, even though he offered him death.
Who said that?
And that Paul said in the New Testament that Abraham believed God, and that if he offered that son and he killed him, that God would raise him from the dead. If he burned him up in ashes, that he would have raised him from the dead. Now let's go on a little bit further. We come all the way and we have Moses. We have a 400 years of Egyptian bondage in our Israel's bondage in Egypt. And then Moses, Moshe. By the way, Moses had a lot of names. Moshe means to rescue or to draw out. Now, Moses' daddy called him one name. His mother called him another name. By the way, his mother was his great aunt. Moses' mother was his great aunt. And Moses' mother had her first child at 128 or 29 years. Moses was born when she was probably 140 or between 140 and 150 years old. Miraculous. That happened. Sarah wasn't the oldest woman in the Bible to have a child. Moses' mother, as far as recorded, was the oldest mother to have a child. Of course, Eve had children till she was however old she was.
My head is just, what a feeling. What is this?
Nobody has experienced
everything. That the Bible is full of miracles and outstanding things, but it's factual. All history tells us these things. Okay? Alexander the Great really lived. He was probably a descendant of Abraham through Keturah. And through him, Abraham blessed all the nations, the sands of the seashore. That I am physically a descendant of Abraham, and I'm spiritually. Every sand of the seashore was all his physical seed, and the stars of heaven was his spiritual seed. Okay, let's go on a little further. Then in Galatians, the fourth chapter, Paul wrote the book of Galatians in the New Testament. Hey, kind of idea, faith, okay? The New Covenant or the New Testament. God said, Paul said there, he said, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that He might redeem those that were under the law. She is the promise of Genesis 3:15. Now, also, Eva,
yes?
You never pass the sin nature on to any child. If you have children, not one of them had sin nature from you. It's sin nature from man. Sin nature comes to the blood of Adam.
But not from the woman.
Not from the woman. This is scientifically and medically perfect. Okay? The child, the woman's blood does not go into the child at all.
Oh.
None.
It is the man.
It's the man's blood through the sperm. Through the sperm of the man, the child receives the sin nature. Mm. That's why the virgin birth is very necessary. Because the sperm or the seed, the blood of God was in Jesus Christ. And Jesus was born without sin. And Mary was a sinner, the Catholic Church has her up into being God. You pray to Mary, you don't pray to God. Okay? But Mary had more children. Mary died.
I don't want to accept that.
Yeah.
No, not you.
And the Bible names those children, and she died in Ephesus. John took care of her until she died and buried her in Ephesus, because John was a pastor of the church in Ephesus for many, many years. Okay, this is history now. But the virgin birth, any woman that could have the seed of God in her would be a sinless Messiah. Mary was important. She was from the right. We have the book of Matthew. Matthew tells us Joseph's lineage. And Luke tells us Mary's lineage. Mary's lineage goes back to Adam through all the uncursed lines. And Mary, she's going to be the seed. Jesus is going to be the seed of the woman, not the seed of man. And now we have Jesus. Now what are we going to do with Jesus? Jesus came into this world and He said what? He said, I am the bread that come down out of heaven. I am the water. I am the life. I am the light. Okay? Now, in religious systems, and that's what that map's all about. We haven't even got over here. We only got up to Jesus so far. But what? There was a great religious system in place when Jesus was there in the land of Israel, and it was called by the high priest and all of that. And these people wanted their religion, and they had turned their religion into something. Religion, by the way.
I'm writing all over this thing. Religion. Etymology, it comes from the Latin letter A.
It comes from R, it means back, or re, and an ion means the state of. The state of binding back again. Religion means the state of binding back again. But religion can bind you also away from God. These people had bound themselves away from God by their religion. And what did Jesus ever say anything good about the Pharisees, scribes, or anything else? Who the men? Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing did he say good. He told in John the 3rd chapter, which is a beautiful chapter of the Bible. You go back to John the 1st chapter, and now we have a representative of the Sanhedrin court and the Pharisees come to Jesus by night. Now, he had a guard that guarded him by night, but he came there as a representative. Because in the Greek language, it says Nicodemus kept saying, we. He's talking about him and other Pharisees. We know that they're our teacher from God because the miracles, you know, nobody could do. And Jesus told him what? Nicodemus, you must be born again. Did he tell him that?
No.
He said, you must be born again.
The Spirit.
Anagnason, you must be born from above. Now, Nicodemus, how can I be born again? Go in my mother's womb and be born again. Nicodemus had baptized and led many proselytes into becoming spiritual children of Israel. And that's what we call where the Gentile becomes a proselyte. And you know what they did to the proselytes? They had to learn everything about the law. And they had to get up in the synagogue and recite all of that. And then they shaved them all off, just like a newborn baby.
Mm-hmm.
Shave them all off. Cut your fingernails back like a baby born. And they would dip them. They would die to their old nationality and raise the new as a son of Israel. Okay? Baptism teaches, portrays what you've done spiritually already. What did Jesus tell them? Believe in me. Even though you die, you'll never die. Believe in him. There is no mediator between man and God, only who? Jesus Christ. Not a priest. Not some type of go-between. The only thing, when we come to God, we come to God one way. That's through Jesus Christ. You know that in the Old Testament, they were not allowed to call God Father. But in the New Testament, Jesus taught his disciples. They said, teach us how to pray. And he said, our Father, which is in heaven. Our Father! Because now he's not our enemy, he's our Father. He didn't say pray to a priest, pray to Mary, pray to some saint, or anything else. He said, pray to the Father. You got direct contact with God. But through Jesus Christ. So we pray to God. And we say, Lord, I come to you. This is initially now. Now, a long time ago, I wasn't that long ago, 10 years ago, I had a little black girl in my class named Pamela. And Pamela had been a devout Catholic all her life, and now she was going to a charismatic church. And she came to me, and she heard me preach. She was taking my Greek and Hebrew. I was teaching her the book of Genesis and everything. She came to my class one night, and I'm setting up all of these recording machines and everything all around. She come up to me, tears in her eyes. She said, Dr. Jim, I need to talk to you. You remember that, Marilyn?
Yeah.
I said, okay, Pam, hold on. Let me get this stuff set up. And I sat down across from her, and I said, I'm yours. What do you need? And she said, I don't think I'm okay. I said, what do you mean you don't think you're okay? I think if I die, I'm going to hell. And I said, you do? I said, well, what do you... She said, well, but my pastor tells me I'm all right. All the priests that I went to said I was okay, you know. But she said, I don't feel okay. Something's wrong here. I said, well, Pamela, I want to ask you this. Have you ever talked to God and said, Father, forgive me of what all of my sins and my shortcomings and all of this stuff in Jesus' name? No. I said, you're not okay. You're not okay. One girl called me from Texas one time, about 15 years ago, and she was a pastor's wife. She calls me on the phone. And she tells me, and she's crying, she's apologizing to me for disturbing me. She called Valley Baptist Church and they didn't want to give her my name. But I'm up there on sermon audio, Dr. Jim Phillips, and I'm a member of Valley Baptist Church. I'm one of the pastors there. She called him and she was in tears, begging the secretary to give him my phone number. And she called him several times. And she called me and she says, I heard you preach. And she said, I know that you can answer any question I got. I said, what's wrong? She said, I don't feel right. My pastor and my husband tell me, my husband's a pastor in the church, and he's one of the pastors in the church, and all of them say I'm okay because I'm a good Christian woman, but I don't feel okay. I think I've heard the gospel all these years. And I said, well, let me ask you something. Were you ever baptized? She said, oh yeah, when I was young. I said, why do you think that you're not okay? I don't know, but I don't feel okay. I said, I feel terrible. She said, my heart is crushed. This feels like God's got His foot on me. I said, okay. I said, do you ever come in a period of time in your life when you say, Lord, forgive me of my sins and my shortcomings and all of this? Do you forgive me for who I am and what I've done? And she said, no. I said, you're not okay. I said, I don't care who tells you you're okay, you're not okay. I said, if you haven't done that, I said, you're lost. And she started crying, and I said, and she said, I don't think I've got another chance. I said, well, why did you call me? And she said, because I thought you could tell me anything. I said, well, listen. I said, how hard was it to get a hold of me? And she said, pretty hard. I said, why do you want to get a hold of me? And she said, because I wanted to ask you what I needed to do. I said, I'm going to tell you. I said, would you like to pray with me right now and ask God to forgive you for rejecting Him all these years and His sacrifice for His Son and to give you new life and to save you and give you eternal life right now? And she says, you think He'll forgive me? And I said, what does the Bible say? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I said, well, just ask Him. You know the story. I said, let's pray. And she prayed. And then when she got to praying, I says, now, Jennifer, are you saved? And she said, yes. I'm going to tell my pastor and I'm going to tell my husband I'm saved. She was happy. Pamela. I said, Pamela, do you want to ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins and save your soul? And she said, yes, I do. And she did. And she was happy. She only lived a couple of years after that. She died very young. But she died saved.
Yeah, she was not.
Yeah, wonderful girl. Now, out there in the world, wherever you are, this goes all over India, Africa, the Philippines. The Philippines use this as their seminary classes. And Australia, New Zealand. I have pastors and teachers that listen to these all over the world and have their students listen to them. But if you're out there someplace and you haven't asked the Lord to forgive you of your sins in your life, address God the Father. And say, Father, forgive me of my sins and my shortcomings and save my soul. And I want you to be my master for the rest of my life. And if you want that in your life, you want God to be your master, you ask Him. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You this day. I send this message out all over the world and here. That if there's one here or there or wherever that doesn't know You, that's just religious, that's not enough. But that You might ask them to forgive, they might ask You to forgive them and to save their soul in Jesus' name. Because they believe that Jesus came, that He died on the cross, that He was buried and rose again. You know that He died for our sins and raised for our justification. And we ask all these things.